Well, I'm going to continue on this subject. There's so much to teach and share on faithfulness that it really, it could be a not just a Bible study, but I mean, it could be an exhaustive study. We're trying to just highlight some things. But how many know that faithfulness is a big deal with God? If you didn't, you begin to find out the more you look at it. Who was faithful? Jesus was faithful. Moses was faithful. Elisha was faithful. You can go through and look at all of the those in the Bible, but you can, this topic of faithfulness, there are benefits to being faithful. And God is looking for faithful people. And one of the things I shared in past lessons is that society has the further away it gets from God, then you can almost see, why does it say in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world? Well, there must be a reason, because it's not God-like. We had an adversary that is influencing this world and this earth, and the further away people get from God, that nature is reflected, a godless nature. And so as we are transformed into his image and likeness, that we become more godlike. And one of the things that always comes up is, well, how am I going to be more faithful? How can I get to be more faithful? You know, it's like, how can I be more anointed? How can I be this? How can I be that? Well, it's by faith that we have access into this grace. And it's the grace of God that is going to give you the power to be whatever that is you need. You need to walk in love, you need the grace of God. You need peace, you need the grace of God. You need joy, you need the grace of God. So all of the things, and let's just turn over there here for a moment. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5, and you can see here, I guess I've kind of started, but I haven't, but I guess it's all flow here. So, but if you look at Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start the message in a moment, but let's take a look at this. And you can see right from the beginning, if you read the whole chapter, you can see the context of what the Holy Spirit is saying here. But as we go down further, you know, and talks about in verse 6, in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. And you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And we can go down further. I'm not going to read all of this, but you can see here where the Holy Spirit is showing you the works of the flesh and what? The fruit of the Spirit. Well, I like some of the translations. You know, we look at what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, in the King James, let me just read this here. Well, let me read it out of the King James here. I don't have it on my other notepad here, but it says here, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," or you could say faithfulness, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But I like the New Living Translation, and also, well, the New Living I like, and then also the Amplified. But in the New Living Translation, it says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. See, when he has control, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And this translation says faithfulness, fidelity, steadiness. He will produce that in you. If you yield to him, you yield to his presence. And the Amplified also says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes. See, so his presence works a work in us. And so that work of his presence will produce this fruit. So that is one way that faithfulness will be accomplished, but we have to yield. We have to yield to his presence. And this is not an overnight thing. This is something that's a work of the Spirit of God in us. But it will produce faithfulness. Faithfulness to him. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to his word. And you're going to see here tonight, I'm just jotted some notes down for this evening, that one of the things, now we can start tonight, so let's just have a quick word of prayer here. Believe God for his presence and his anointing. Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing and your guidance. Thank you for the word of God, which is our guide, which is life, which is you. And we thank you that it's forever settled in heaven. And we thank you that as we feed upon it, as we meditate upon it day and night, it'll make our way successful. And we look to you, Holy Spirit, for direction and guidance this evening. And we believe for supernatural influence. We believe that you, the Spirit of grace, will empower us to see the Word. And we believe that revelation and deposits of grace and truth will be received this evening. And we will see in greater depth this subject of faithfulness and the importance of it, and we thank you for it and believe for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's look at 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 4. And we're looking at verse 1 and 2. We're talking about faithfulness. And it says, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Did you know you were a steward of the mysteries of God? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, a steward in this context here, if you look it up, it means somebody who's a manager over something. Now, in this case here, you're a manager over something that is owned by somebody else. You're a manager over something. You're not the owner of it. You are a steward of something. What is it a steward of? You're a steward of the mysteries of God. And so, a manager is something that belongs to, a manager over, in this case, is something that belongs to someone else. See, we're a steward of something. You could be a steward over your household. You could be a steward on your job. You could be a manager over something. In this case here, it's talking about you are a steward of the mysteries of God. And it says here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I like this is another translation. It's the Living Bible. It says, now the most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Now, let me read it again. This is the Living Bible. Now, the most important thing, this is verse 2 in 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 2, the Living Bible. Now, the most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to. And so, we as stewards over the mysteries of God, we are to do exactly what he tells us to do. And that goes where the Word of God is concerned, and that also goes where instructions from God are concerned. That we are faithful to his Word and faithful to his instructions. That we do exactly just as he's told us to do. Are we faithful? And that is one of the things that I personally believe has been a hallmark at this ministry, that the pastors, I'm talking about Pastor Clinton, who's in heaven. For those that might be listening, you all know that. But Pastor Sarah, they too endeavored. They may have missed it here and there, but they endeavored with all of their heart and strength and mind to do exactly what the Lord told them to do. And I believe that that seed was planted here. And that was a great example and continues this day, that we endeavor to do exactly what he tells us to do. We don't add to it. We don't modify it. But we do exactly what he tells us to do. That's why when the Lord says, go over here, I'm convinced. And see, it's one thing where you receive an instruction. That's why, for me personally, if the Lord gives instruction, and I personally believe this, that when God gives instructions, not all the time, but most of the time, there are other things that line up with that instruction. Sometimes not, and that's a walk of faith. Well, all of it's a walk of faith. But regarding even the words that have been spoken previous about moving to another location, I got to be honest with you, when I first heard it, I thought, really? But it took God, by his Spirit, to have me pull out previous prophecies. See? And then you go, oh, yes, okay. I got it. I understand. So God has been making statements, prophetic statements, to this ministry. We're not deviating from it. And it will come to pass. Because God has a purpose and a plan for this ministry. And that is going to be fulfilled. And folks may not understand, but it's not our place to try to figure it out. It's our place to do what? Obey. And not try to figure it out. And that's key. To obey. Not try to figure instructions out. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel 15. And we're looking at a steward being faithful and a steward following exactly what the Lord gives us as instructions. And of course, you know this story here in 1 Samuel 15 and looking at verse 1, talking about the story between Samuel and Saul and the instructions that were given to Saul. And you can see here, down in verse 1, it talks about how Samuel came to anoint who? Saul, as king, But he gave some instructions, did he not? He said, now, you know, I said, I've come to anoint thee king over this people, over Israel, over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And he began to share with him that you're to take and go kill Amalek and the Amalekites, everything. Wipe them out. And, of course, you can read on down that he didn't. And you can see here that he smote the Amalekites, in verse 7, from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is, over against Egypt. And, verse 8, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul, and I want you to notice this, and the people, not just the people, Saul and the people, spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed. Then the word of the Lord unto Samuel, that came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. He didn't perform them. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul cometh to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And you can read down, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best. But I just read it said Saul and the people. So he wanted to kick them under the bus here, so to speak, and blame them. He didn't want to take responsibility. And then in verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to and he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? The next thing out of his mouth should have been what? I repent. I didn't do it. I didn't do as he said. I missed it. I added to what the Lord said. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Ouch. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, he said it again, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight, said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Of course, you're familiar with this scripture, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. Well, then I guess that got Saul's attention. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So we can see here, it wasn't that Saul didn't do what the Lord said. He just didn't do it exactly as the Lord had said. It wasn't that he didn't do something. He didn't do what the Lord told him to do. You see? And so there's a price to pay for not being faithful. And I think that what we're needing to understand is that God looks for faithfulness, and it is required of a steward or a servant, not a servant, but a steward, to be faithful as what? A steward over the mysteries of God. And so as we, this world is getting darker and darker and further away from God, he's looking for a people that will stand up and be faithful to his word, not bow to people's thoughts and thinking. If it costs me my job, I'm going to stand faithful to him. If it costs me something, I will stand true to God. He's looking for faithfulness. And those are the kind of things that the church needs to embrace, is a faithfulness to God and his word, because God will exalt those that stand true to him and faithful to him. He preserveth the faithful. Amen. Let's turn over. I want to take a look at something in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's take a look here. In the Hebrews the chapter 3, and looking at verse 1, first few verses. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. As, I like this, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And let me stop there. Let me read a few verses here. These are some scriptures. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read these. These are speaking of Moses. We're talking about Moses was faithful in all of his house. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. My servant Moses, who was faithful in all mine house. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 4. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He was faithful. He did as the Lord commanded him. Numbers 17:11. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him, so did he. Numbers 20, verse 27. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. You get the picture. Moses did as the Lord commanded. Numbers 27, 22. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. So we can see that Moses did as the Lord commanded. He was faithful. But I also recall he got a little upset with them folks he was leading, and he didn't do what the Lord commanded him to do. And he paid a price, didn't he? He told them to gather. I'll read it to you here. This is in Numbers 20 and verse 7. And he said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye under the rock before their eyes. And he said, It shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded, as he commanded him." So he did that part right. "And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them," he was ticked off. He said, "Hear now, ye rebels." I think he had had his full of leading these jokers, and he had had it. So he said, "You rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" It's like saying, get it yourself. "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And of course, it says the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also." So you can see that God was endeavoring to minister to the people. His disobedience didn't hinder the blessings that God was trying to get to the people, but he paid a price for disobedience. Did he not? He paid a big price. And so, when you think about it, even in settings today, when we get a revelation in the Word of God, we are to be faithful as what? Stewards over the mysteries of God. So when God gives you a revelation in His Word, you are to be what to that? Faithful to that revelation. When you get light in a scripture, you are to do what? Operate in what you know. See? And so what happens is, why did Saul deviate? Why did he add to the command that he was given? It spells it right out. Why did he deviate? He did what? He did, but what else did it say? He did what? Right. He feared the people. So let me ask this question. I've been in these situations. If you get a revelation, I'm talking about a rhema, you know that you know. Who did that come from? Came from God by His Spirit. And fear comes in to have you make a different choice. It's no different. It's no different. Now, God is merciful. We're under a better covenant. Thank God. But sometimes when we make choices and we're not faithful to what God has revealed, we may pay a natural price. Is that not right? It sure is. And so we have to just be put our minds in perspective that whatever God reveals is of great value and importance. And whatever is going on in our life, it's not more important than what He reveals. I don't care what it is. What He reveals is more important than anything. And is to be kept at the highest value. Now, have we all done that in every situation? No, we have not. I mean, I'm gonna tell you. I've told, I guess it bears repeating because I guess it helps me. When the Holy Ghost told me to invest in some stock, I didn't do it immediately. And why did I not do it? I thought about the loss of money that I might lose if I put it in it. Not thinking, wait a minute, who told you to do that? But I was young, learning. I won't do that again. See, and it doesn't have to be that. It could be anything. It could be quit your job and go leave and sell your house and go work over here. Oh, I can't do that. See? Or it could be go have a physical checkup, an exam. Well, I'm just standing on the word. I believe God. Well, yes, you are, but the Holy Ghost knows something about you you don't know. So go have a physical exam. See, and why don't you go? A lot of times people are afraid to find out what might be wrong. And so those are just things that, you know, you can see examples in the Word of God by not being faithful to what He tells us and He reveals to us. That's what we can, you can't be, think of it this way. When you have faith in something that God has revealed to you. Isn't that not correct? So to have faith, you have to have faith in God. You have to have faith in something that He's revealed to you. You know it's His will. You can have faith for that. So to have faithfulness would be, I can't be faithful to something that I don't have an opportunity for. Or be faithful in something that I haven't been given an opportunity to be faithful. I can't be faithful over something that not so much required, but I haven't been assigned to do that. How can I be faithful to that? Or required to be faithful? It's no different when we talk about faithfulness. The primary of faithfulness needs to be to the Word of God. That's where our faithfulness needs to be. Faithfulness to what God has revealed to you. That's the faithfulness part. And God, what you receive tomorrow, tomorrow, next week, next month, is based upon what you've been faithful to and over today. So a lot of people are looking for more, but are you faithful over what you have today? Because what you're faithful over today puts you in a position for more tomorrow. Is that not true? I believe it is. I think it is. But let's take a look at Jesus here for a moment. Let's look at John chapter 5 for a moment. Jesus is our example. And I tell you, this particular subject of faithfulness is... is a subject that I believe, along with faith is taught, but faithfulness, I don't hear enough taught on it. And there should be faithfulness to God and His Word. We're finding that even in church, folks will, just the same way Saul said, but I did what the Lord told me. No, he didn't. And sometimes folks will say, well, the Holy Ghost told me that. The Holy Ghost told me to do such and such. And you know darn well that's not so. Couldn't be so. And so you have to just leave it alone. Because when folks share that with you, I'm not going to stand there and tell them that he didn't. I won't. I'm going to let them find out. I think if a person is open to receive, that's a different story. I'm not going to say I would never. But most times, the Lord has not, because folks are not in a position to receive. John 5, did you get there? John 5, chapter 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. I'm sorry. Right, there is no John chapter 30. I see. John chapter 5 and verse 30. It says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. So Jesus didn't seek his own will. He sought the will of the Father. And you know, he was tempted just like we are. And when he was tempted in the garden, what did he say? If there's any other way, Lord, please show me. And so he said, not my will, but your will be done. In John 8, verse 29, John 8, 29, he said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We can see faithfulness here. We can see faithfulness. Now, let's turn over to Matthew 7 a minute. This particular scripture came up in my thinking here, putting these notes together. In Matthew 7, talking about faithfulness to God and faithfulness to his word and his instructions. In Matthew 7, let's look at verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But when you look at it, what did the verse say? It says, he that heareth my sayings and does what? He does them. He likens him unto a wise man. And it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So you can see here, and let's go over to Luke, because Luke, I like that account, in Luke 6, and look at verse 46, Luke 6, 46. It says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we can see here that faithfulness to God and His word is an instructions, not just hearing them, but yes, Lord, doing them, whatever that is. If I see something in the word of God, I'm shifting course. I'm going. That's it. I may have been doing it the wrong way 20 years, but the minute I see it and I know it, I'm accountable now to that revelation. And the more I do it, then I'm considered faithful as a doer of that word. He'll give me more revelation. See, that's the whole principle that we were sharing in Matthew 25 about the talents. That if I'm not faithful with that little revelation, why would He give me more? For what? To shout hallelujah? So as I see it, when it says here, that man that hears His word and does it is like a wise man that built and dug down deep. So when the storms of life come, it don't shake you. And that's when you can look at the scriptures and it says, God preserveth a faithful man. He's faithful to His word. He preserves you against the storms of life. You see what I'm talking about? Whether that's health, finances, family, He will preserve you through that as you build your house upon His rock. Being faithful to that, come what may. As you see it, I'm not talking about believing what somebody else believes or I'm going to do what they do. No, I'm talking about when you see it, when you know it, you shift. You start doing it. That's what you're responsible over. You see. And so as we do that, I believe that's what, there's some things just out of this last meeting. I go into a meeting expecting to see something that I hadn't seen before, know something that I hadn't known before. I don't care who it is. And I'm so thankful. There were some things that Dr. Hutton shared that I believe I shared last Wednesday. I got some revelation. The Holy Ghost said, you're not doing this right here. And I said, ooh, you're right. We're not doing it. We're shifting. And I didn't get a chance to talk to Pastor Greg, and he came in my office talking, but we were signing checks. And he said, hey, you know what? We're not doing this right here. And I said, right. I didn't get to talk to you about it. But we shifted. You see, the minute the Holy Ghost reveals something, He's trying to protect, He's trying to get something to you. How's He going to do that? When you're faithful to His word. Then the Holy Ghost will empower you to do that. You have faith in His grace to do it when you don't feel like doing it. You say, Lord, I see it, but I sure don't know how I'm going to do that. I need help in that area. I see it, I know it, but I need some help. He'll empower you to do that. You've just got to make the choice, I'm going to do it. And He will give you the grace, give you the empowerment to do that. Does that make sense? Yes. Hallelujah. I think that's enough for this evening. Amen. As you can go on, we're going to just put this out in little bite-sized chunks here. But when you see something, when you know it, be faithful over that. And as the Holy Spirit was reminding me here, this is just like the man that built his house on a solid foundation, that when the life's things, when the rains and the struggles of life beat against your house, you've been faithful to not only hear it, but do it. When it comes, bang, it's not moving. It's not moving that house. It's not moving your faith in Him, you see. You're going to stand solid in that. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So God just to wrap it up, he's looking for us. This is what we were doing it here when I was sharing on the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 4:2. The most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to. What would be that the same as? Something that's revealed to you. When we see it, we do it. We exercise it. If he says, go love that person, I don't want to do that. If he revealed it to you, then you do just exactly what he tells you to. If he says, go give somebody some money. I remember when a ministry was here, they were here visiting, and the Lord spoke to me. They were here a few days. So they were visiting, they were fellowshipping with us, and the Lord spoke to me and said, give them this amount of money. And it was a goodly amount. It was some thousands, I'll just put it that way. And so I had to sit down and think. I said, okay, I'll do it. But I waited. You know, you don't have to rush. If it was God today, it'll be God tomorrow, and it'll be God the next day. I don't have to just rush on it. So I waited on it. And I said, okay, I'll do this. So I wanted to have that assurance in here that this was a God thing and not my emotions. But I knew it was him speaking to me. So the last day they were there, I approached them. I said, you know, the Holy Spirit put this in my heart. I said, I believe he told me to give you this amount of money. Sow this into your ministry. I said, do you have a need? No, everything's fine. Everything, praise God. Okay, wonderful. We'll receive it. So I thought, okay. You know, you say, okay, everything's met. Praise the Lord. Well, it'll just bless him. Well, I got a letter maybe a couple months after that saying, you have no idea what struggle we were in. But that money helped us get out of the red and into the black in the ministry. And they had been crying out to God for help. And God answered their prayer. But he was looking for someone who would say yes. You see. So I was thankful that I was obedient to do that. But you'd never know. Somebody could smile and say, yeah, everything's fine. Praise God. But you don't know the struggle that someone's in. You don't know what somebody's going through. So the key becomes be faithful to the instructions that you've been given by God. And that will qualify you for more and bigger things. Amen. Be faithful. It's important to be faithful to him and to do it his way. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Father, that we repent where the areas that we haven't been faithful to you, and we purpose to do it just exactly the way you've instructed us to, not add to it or take away from it, but to follow you. And we thank you, Father, that you are looking for a faithful people that can be trusted with bigger things. For there are people that are out there hurting, there are people out there that need help, and you're looking for faithful people that will listen and obey. And Father, we're that people. We believe it. And we thank you, Father, that even your word says that when a tree bears fruit, that sometimes it needs to be pruned so that it'll bring forth more fruit. So Father, we thank you and believe that we are being pruned to bring forth more fruit. And we thank you for it, and we believe for expansion. We believe for more fruit, for productivity, not only in our everyday lives, but we thank you where souls are concerned, Father, that you can trust us to bring the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, did you get anything out of that? Just a few thoughts to help us in our daily walk. I'll tell you, it's helping me. Sometimes you go, ah, ouch. I'm not doing everything I should in some areas. So we need to be pruned. We need to be corrected so that we can be more productive. We don't want to be foolish, but faithful. We don't want to be a foolish person, but a faithful person. And God is looking for steady, worthy to be. That's the one. Let me look that up. There's a word. I looked it up in the just in the dictionary, in the Merriam-Webster. Really, sometimes I just like to look a word up, but this word in Galatians, was reading earlier, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that word faith is pistis, which means trust, confidence, conviction. It means the character of one who can be relied upon. Well, some of the other translations, in the Darby translation, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fidelity. And I like that word because today there is a lack of fidelity between husband and wife, between friends, even among people where your work is concerned. There's a lack of fidelity. What do I mean? That when there's fidelity, that means you can be trusted upon to not divulge something about that individual. And I'll go as far as saying, how many, I don't want a show of hands, because that would be embarrassing, but even where husbands and wives are concerned, there should be a confidence between those two that's confident to them only. So when you've had your full of your mate, and you're like, you know what, I can't take another minute of that person today, and you pick up the phone and dump with your girlfriends or your buddies about, you know, all that you're dealing with today, that's not being faithful. That's not exhibiting fidelity. Because if you've got something to vent, who should you vent to? I would vent to the Lord. Get on my knees and pray for that person and say, you know, Lord, I'm dealing with this. How should I handle this? Because your friends are not necessarily going to give you the right kind of counsel. Plus, that's just not being faithful. You see? And that can go with friends. Doesn't have to be husband and wife. Could be friends. It could be people on the job force. That if you had a confidence, you know, honey, let me tell you about this person. Look, let me tell you, it goes on in the ministry. Ministers will get down and talk about other ministers. Man, you should have been, I was at this church, and you can't believe what this minister did. So people, ministers talk about other ministers. It ain't right. It's not right. It's ungodly. It's not faithful. You see. And so it's a very, it's a big deal where God's concerned. I believe it is. And I want to be faithful to Him and faithful in my actions, faithful in my words, faithful in my conduct. And when you miss it, you just fix it. Say, I'm going to grow up here, not do that. You see. That makes sense?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. You all can stand as we'll start again here. We don't want to do that. All right. Amen. Let's say this, the word that I've heard,
the word that I've heard
by the Spirit of God,
is working mightily
in me.
In me.
You are dismissed.